This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 93, Skyfall from 2012. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, we're on the third movie into the Daniel Craig era. Now, this is the most famous one. I mean, we got Casino Royale, but I think this is the biggest one out of all of them. Skyfall, directed by Sam Mendes. But how long has it been since you've seen Skyfall?
Honestly, it's been a few years. I've seen this one before this viewing. I'd only seen it twice. But because it didn't come out that long ago, it's still, you know, like I remembered it quite a bit. So I'd say I saw it in 2012 in the theater and then maybe again in like 2015 or 16. So a couple years, 5 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's been a while. I mean, I don't like to go much into the Bond movies because then you don't want to get tired out watching them. But it's been a while since I've seen Skyfall. But we're going to get right into it. So for those of you that are new to the channel, we're going to do this by the new category that we add for the Bond movies are opening title sequence. Then we're going to go into the movie review. So right now, we're going to go right into the box office numbers for Skyfall 2012. Wow, this is actually, I think this is the biggest numbers in the entire franchise. But with that said, domestic, $304 million. Okay.
It went 300 up. US?
Yeah, US.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
international, $804 million.
Holy, it's a billion.
A worldwide number of $1.1 billion. Worldwide.
Jesus. Now, I don't know if you still have it up. How much did Quantum make worldwide? 800 million?
I'll pull that up for
you. I want it. Okay, I'll talk while you look it up. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was about 800 something. This is just me off the top of my head from what you said. So this made an extra 300 million on top of that.
Nope.
No, how much was it?
Quantum of Solace made 589 million.
Worldwide?
Worldwide.
So this more than doubled.
Yes.
And okay, never mind then. It's even more gargantuan than I thought.
Yeah, and they're both budgeted at 200 million.
Well, before we get to the review, I will say this. One of these directors used their budget much better than the other one, and that's all I'll say. We're not going to spoil it, but yeah, a billion. I believe you. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, I mean, this is crazy, but let's check out what the critics and the audience have to say about Skyfall.
Well, this might be one of the reasons why it made a billion. The critics love this movie. Now, Casino Royale actually has a higher Rotten Tomatoes of 94, but this right behind it at 92%. So this was a critically lauded film. I'm pretty sure it was nominated for a number of Oscars that year. And then audience score, it has an 86. So this is fans liked it. Critics liked it. The whole world liked it. It made $1 billion. It's a hit. What are you going to say? What more can you say about it? It was a hit in every regard.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. But now we're going to throw out those numbers. We're going to give you guys our movie review numbers, and we're going to break it down into categories for you guys.
Yeah.
So with that said, let's go right into this freshly new opening title sequence starring Adele with the hit song Skyfall. Nate.
Listen. this is a five. I'm gonna give it a five. Now I have my reason. Number one, this song of these first three movies, we're only talking about the first three, this thing was on the radio all the time when it came out. I never heard the Chris Cornell song on the radio. I never heard the terrible Alicia Keys and Jack White song on the radio. This thing was on every channel that played top 40 music. It charted. I don't know where it ranked. I'm sure it was high. It was in the top 40, obviously. It charted. So the song, Adele, you know what? I don't care what kind of music you listen to. You must respect Adele as a singer. Amazing voice. Absolutely great. She's British, right? So of these first three movies, she's the first Brit to actually do the song for it. So perfect choice for a singer. The song, this is one of the only songs that I know like all the words to, pretty much. Like I know how the song goes. Remember how when we talked about Quantum, we couldn't even remember the lyrics and we just watched the movie. This one I know and I haven't seen it in 5 years. It's that good. And I like the credits because this one more so than the other two kind of show a lot of the story, like almost like foreshadowing. Now, if you've never seen the movie, you're not going to know what it means, right? Like they show the Chinese dragons. You don't know that means he's going to go to China at one point in the movie.
Yeah.
So I like it. It almost tells a little miniature story. And that song is an absolute, I mean, it's a beautiful song. I love it. It's not as fast as the first two, but it fits perfectly with the whole film. 5 out of 5.
You're gonna sing me a verse?
No.
Come on, sing.
I'm no Adele. If it was someone else, if it was like Jack White again, yeah. I could probably beat him. Or like Macho Man. If Macho Man sang it, I could do it. But Adele, I ain't touching it.
All right, so you gave it a five. This is what I gotta say. Well, let me just get into where this charted, right? We haven't done that. So I'm gonna do this quick. Skyfall by Adele. Reached number one in 11 countries, at the top five in various other regions. It peaked at number two on the UK singles chart and number eight on the US Billboard Hot 100, with sales of 7.2 million copies worldwide. Skyfall is one of the best-selling digital singles of all time.
Bro, you know what? When you peak at number eight on the radio and you're the theme song to a movie... That is, you can't, numbers don't lie.
No, it don't. And one thing about this song, that the minute the song starts, you knew you're watching a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Because once you hear the trumpet or the wah, 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 bah, I was like, okay, that's it. And then it goes right into the piano, the bling,
piano, yeah.
Bling. Yeah, and this is the end.
There you go.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold your breath and count to 10.
Alex right? Adele.
That, I'm Aldo.
There you go,
Aldo. but that song, out of the three that we just did, it resonates with the embodiment of what 007 is, right? Mm-hmm. Out of all the 25 years of movies or whatever, this is... embodied it. You're going, wow, this is, you're walking into something special. And we joked, right? Like, if the hit song is good, then the movie's good. Hit song sucks, the movie might be a disaster. We don't know. But the cool thing about this one is that I love the graphics because it tied with the movie, right? Bond got hit off the cliff and then they drag him into the water. And that's it. Then Adele's sweet honey voice kicks in and you're like, wow. I told my wife, I was like, if I die, I hope Adele is singing my song.
Sing me on to the afterlife.
Yeah, sing me to the afterlife. Yeah. This is the end.
literally.
Yeah, but no, but everything, it was a beautiful song. There's certain singers, and I always say this to everybody, there's certain artists that fits a movie franchise. And I felt Adele could have did this for like eight movies for all I care. And she would have been great. I always said Celine Dion has a great voice. They could put her into this. This is my number one, and she died, rest in peace, was Amy Winehouse. I think she had the voice. Yeah, a great vocalist for this type of franchise. But anyway, with that said, I gave it a five. Across the board, it's a five. Now, let's get right into leak. Did Nate go up on his numbers? Lead character, Daniel Craig, James Bond.
Great. I'm glad you brought it up. So now I don't have to. So, look, I was excited to talk about this movie because I'm not a non-Bond fan. I like the Bond movies, the ones I've seen. I haven't seen them all. So I don't claim to be an expert, but I know some things, right? Like, even on the movies I don't see, these movies have... staples, formulas, if you will, right? Cold open, opening credits, sang with a song, a theme song sang by a big star at the time. And then from the cold open, you get to that, and then you get to the movie. And then each Bond movie has staples, right? Characterizations. He's a certain way. One of my issues with the last movie was, to me, I was like, he feels a little not like what I think of with Bond. Right. I'm glad to say he was very much back in this movie. You don't understand how happy I am that there is no like love interest in this movie. There's none. There's that one lady for a little bit, but that's typical Bond. There's always a girl that he is involved with, either to get information or to get closer to something, or just to sleep with her because he's that good. You know what I mean? So there's that, but we're done with the Vesper stuff. And you know, we talked about it in Casino Royale. I loved it in the movie, but then he kept being all mopey in the next movie. Now he's like, you know what? I'm an agent. I'm good. I'm back. He had one-liners again. There was a number. I love the line about the radio. It cracks me up every time. It's like, this is the latest technology. It's a radio. And it's like a tiny radio, like this big, you know? It's hilarious. Like, that's what I want. And Daniel Craig delivered. He delivered in the action. He was a little older. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell that time has progressed. He's beat up. And there's the line that Naomi Harris says about being an old dog and new tricks. I was like, that's how he feels like. An old dog, beat up, injured, but he was back to being that jackhammer, right? Like, he's just gonna, no matter what, You can't stop him. He's a pit bull. 5 out of 5. I loved him in this movie. Absolutely loved him.
Yeah, look, I'm going to continue on my 5 train. I think this is he's excellent in this movie. And I said it before when we did the Quantum. They stopped that storyline. You saw it at the end and you know why. And like once mm-hmm. this movie started, he was back to fully fledged the 007 you knew from Casino Royale, yeah. right? Yeah. Before he met Resper. This is the like you said, he's old, gritty, beat up. And the thing about this movie that I loved was his connection to M. This is the movie that you saw the mother figure that him dying, right? He died, came back because his mom, right? Like, I mean, we can say all we want is his boss, which it is, yeah. but he's an orphan and he uh-huh. basically was the mom to him. And that's something we could talk about more throughout the episode. But for me, I felt the connection between that. I felt the connection between him and Javier Bardem when they were on screen together. I felt the connection with him and Moneypenny and Q, which we're going to talk about leading down. Daniel Craig, watching him in this Bond movie, and we do see him in other movies too. He is a fantastic actor because he knows when to use his charm. He knows when to be angry because you see it in this movie. We're going to talk about in action sequences, but you see the variance, like the levels of acting that this guy brings to this character. And it's sad to see him go. I mean, we got 2 more movies to wrap this up, the Daniel Craig era. And it's really sad to see a guy like this go. But you know what? You can't play him forever, right? You got to pass on to someone else. But I give him a 5 because I'm going to be happy because I want to keep going down the line with this stuff because we want to break some stuff down. Next, Javier Bardem, main villain.
Listen, this guy, I checked. This guy doesn't show up on the screen until past an hour into the movie. And in the first hour that he's not, you don't even see his face. He is already making an impact in the movie, in the story, in everything that's happening. And then it's almost like, well, they're building this guy up. Like, it's not going to deliver. And then it's Javier Bardem. And you're like, well, how stupid of me to think he was not going to do it. His opening monologue when he's coming off the elevator, I love that shot. It's just steady, and it's a slow zoom, and he's walking to the camera. And I can get all nerdy about, because Roger Deakins shot this thing, and it's ridiculous. But I love the camera work. I love the speech about the rats and the coconuts. And I'm like, oh, my God, they gave this guy great writing. He's, you know what? He's older, and the movie's smart. They don't make it like he's a young man, but he is, he's smart and he's skilled. So even in his old age, when the little bit of action he does, a chase scene here, the scene at the end, you know, at Skyfall and all that kind of stuff, he's great. I didn't think, well, he can't do that. Even with his, you know, jacked up body from the cyanide pill and all that. That scene is horrifying, by the way. This is the first of the Craig movies, the first great villain. Great villain, 5 out of 5. I loved him. I love the way he talks. I love the way he looks. I love that he's kind of gay. Like, they don't really say, you know, he has that scene. And I've read a lot. I remember when it came out, I read a lot about it. And I love that they never explain. They never tell you. He might be, he might not be. He might just be trying to get James Bond rattled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe he is. And if he is, he's the greatest gay villain ever. Like, he is 5 out of 5. I absolutely love him.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, look, I gave him a 5. He's my favorite villain so far throughout all the Craigs. And I could say even throughout all the Bonds, all 25 Bonds. And something we're going to tackle again, we're going to go through all the Bond movies anyway. Then we'll just start rating them with our lives that is going to be coming up in a few months from now. We could start doing a lot of lives where we break down some of these movies and give you guys rankings live. But to me, I felt Javier Bardem's character, he is so good, right? Like you said, when he was walking that, like, the guy, he didn't look menacing. He was like, Mr. He was like, what did M tell you about your scores, right? And he's like, stood there quiet. He goes, oh, really? Let me tell you. And he goes, oh, evaluation? Failed. he's like, failed. He's like,
what did you get on your shootings? What'd you get on your shooting score?
Yeah.
70. No, a 40.
Yeah, he's like, no, 40.
So calm, but also talking trash to him.
And that's the thing, like, and then he had some charm to him, right? Like, he was a villain that had charm. Like, regardless, we see him as a villain, but to Bond, he had some charm. When he was when he was going to drink with him, he was like, we're going to play a shooting game. And he put the shot on top of her, right?
Yes.
And he had John. He goes, boop, oh, I win. And he shot the girl.
He just shot her in the head.
And I like that. And even in the scene that when Bond chased him through the train station, right? Yeah. And he goes, and he blows up the hole, and he goes, was that for me? And he goes, oh, radio. Remember when he hit him with the
call
line?
Back to the other. Yeah,
he goes,
great.
Oh, it's a little thing called radio. And then he was like, I hope that was not for me. He goes, oh, no, no, no. Oh, but that is. And then he saw the train come out. Like,
yes.
And I love that. Like, they had a bitter each other. They were equals because he was an ex-MI6 agent. So he was pretty much like Bond, but not physical. And
he was
not
like the pre-Bond Bond.
Yes, he was the pre-version of Bond. And I thought he was a genius. And I thought this was a great cast. I can never see now any other person following this character, like in this role. Like, this character is Javier Bardem. Like, I cannot see no one
else.
He's
a one-time villain. They should not ever try to bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, if they would have. I mean, they captured him and they put him in a thing and he broke out. I think the crowd would have went crazy.
Oh, if it's him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the crowd would have went nuts.
But they can never recast it.
No, I would have not even with that. But look, I gave it a 5. Action sequences.
Oh, one more thing I meant to say. I think this is the better version of what they tried to do in GoldenEye. Remember how it was a 006 or whatever?
Oh, Alex.
He was an agent.
Yeah, Alex. Yeah,
this is how you do it. Not that he was a bad villain in that movie. He was fine.
Yeah.
This guy was elite. This is how you do a former agent. He knows the secrets. He knows what's going on. This is it. Okay, action. So this is where I'm going to be real honest. Not that I haven't been. I've been real honest before.
Yeah.
But I had to be honest with myself, Alex. I was sitting there and I watched this movie.
Yeah.
This movie's great. I love this movie. I love everything that's going on, right? And then I went to score it, right? I watched the whole entire movie. Then I sit down and then I make my scores. I make my notes after it's over. I don't do it while you're watching because you never know. Something could take a twist and then be horrible.
Yeah.
And so I wait till I'm done. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? This had great action. But if I'm going to be honest, it's equivalent to, especially in quantity, Casino Royale. And I think it has about as much screen time of action as Casino Royale. This, like that movie, the comparisons you could make are, you know, in the way it story is told, it's like action at the beginning and then a lot of plot. Remember, we're talking about it's like a lot of story and then a little action scene in the middle, smaller, and then plot, and then a big one at the end. In that one, it's a big falling thing in Venice or whatever. In this one, it's at the Skyfall, you know, at the manor and all that, with the shootout with the helicopters. And all that said, it looks great. It's well shot. Sam Mendes does his thing. Roger Deakins, obviously, like I said, cinematographer, does his thing. I love the scene where he fights the dude, the assassin guy, in that building with the lights behind them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in the shadow. So I could not in good conscience just give it a 5 because I was like, this doesn't, it's not way better or more than the last great one. It sounds like I'm about to give it a 3 or something. I gave it a 4.5. I had to be honest with myself. And as great as what's there is, it's not a 5 to me has to be big, huge, multiple set pieces. And this is not that. And that's okay. It still works for the movie.
Well, I'm sorry to say, man, this got a 5, and I'm gonna say why. I think this had way better action sequences than Quantum of Solace. This had a way better opening than Quantum of Solace, especially.
The cold open's amazing.
The cold open, I think, is the best one I think so far of the three movies. I mean, the Casino Royale is different because he's getting his
that
00 status.
Cool.
Yeah, this one is big banger, right?
Yeah,
that's the big one, right? I understand what you mean, but the reason why I'm gonna say no. Because in the middle, you got a lot of action. And I think you're forgetting on it. The fight sequence in Tokyo, right? That was huge.
Yeah.
That was in the middle. Him.
But it wasn't long.
But you got to remember also, you got also Javier Bardem breaks out in the middle of the movie. And he's chasing him.
It's a foot chase.
Yeah. Then he goes into the train station. The train station blows up. He runs into the courthouse. The courthouse fight scene where the new M, and he was like, my man, see, this is why I'm not old. I'm saving your ass, and he's saving everybody, right? And then from there, it goes right into the ending, right, which is Skyfall. So I think it has, to me, I mean, again, it's your score, but I think it had a lot of great, memorable set pieces. I think it does, especially the scene in China when he's fighting in the dark. And they're in that window. I love the chase scene in going right into the court when M is giving that beautiful poem that her ex-husband gave and he's running towards to save her. Yeah, I couldn't. I had to give it a 5. I thought it, out of all the movies, I think Skyfall executed the amount of length of action into the story and it blended so well. Like it didn't go chop, chop, chop. Like it was just like him in the street running. Led right into him going into the other side of the courtroom where he's on the other side where Javier Bardem is. While he's shooting forward, he's on the side to save everybody. Yep. So I thought it was a genius move. I mean, look, yep. I mean, I gave it a five, but I understand what you mean, though.
I mean, you know, like Casino, because Casino Royale had the opening fight scene, the amazing parkour scene,
yeah,
the end scene in Venice. It had the scene at the airport.
Yeah,
it had the car where he's racing after. There was the hotel fight in the stairwell. So there was a lot.
It was condensed of action in Casino, because in the staircase was just like a few minutes. He went from top to bottom. He killed him. That's it. But I understand what you mean, though. Yeah, I think this one was longer executed.
Me, they're equal in the terms of action, but I gave it 4.5. Look,
I'm not saying it's really a wrong really score. Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it's a wrong score. To me, I just think that the action in this one, I think, was more perfect. Because I didn't give perfect on Casino Royale or Quantum.
No, we both gave four and a half.
Yeah. So I think this one, out of those two movies, I think this one, to me, were perfect in terms of the story plus the action. I think for me, it gave both worlds in this movie.
Right on.
Storyline.
Five. Imagine I just stopped there.
Yeah, you just stopped.
I mentioned it at the top. This movie, I feel like the first two, I don't want to say they were scared, but it felt sometimes like they were scared to fully go like full Bond. You know what I mean?
There's no cue
in those first two movies. There's no, like, this one has all the stuff I think of when this has the car with the machine guns in the, you know, like in the headlights. It has gadgets. It has Hugh. It has humor. It has a beautiful women. It has beautiful men. This feels more like a Bond movie of like all the Bond movies. Whereas Casino Royale felt like it was trying to reboot, essentially. You know what I mean? And they were like, we're going to go a little grittier, which worked perfect. I think this did what Quantum probably should have done, which is integrate more of the Bond stuff. But they didn't in that movie. And they did it here. And I loved it for it. This feels like, it feels like everything Bond should be. But then it's extremely well written. You know what I mean? The villain's great, like we said. The interactions are all great. The stuff with M, I'll let you go more into it, but the stuff with M is great, like their relationship. Even the ending, like even the transition from one M to another M, like everything is fluid. Oh, Moneypenny is introduced in this. She's not in any other two. Like, I think this one just got it right. You know, you watch a movie, you're like, they are doing everything right. Skyfall.
No, I agree with you. Look, it's a five for me also. I think this is, and you're absolutely right. This movie should be a template. I mean, a template for any franchise that has multiple movies under their belt to introduce characters. They did this in a perfect way for the newer generation that don't know these characters. No one knows Moneypenny. No one knows Q. Only the hardcore fans that know Q is the quartermaster. He's the one that does all the gadgets for Bond. Everyone knows that Moneypenny is the flirty secretary that always flirts with him, but they never sleep with each other. But this movie did it better. And I think the reason why it was so awesome, because when I saw this in the theater, I did not know Naomi Harris was Moneypenny. No one knew it because she was on the field. She shot him off the freaking train on that sequence, right? No one knew it. I don't want to hear no one tell me, oh, yeah, I did. No, you did not. Because they never even reveal their name till the end of the movie, unless you got spoilers and you watch, read all this stuff. Other than that, the movie never indicated that she was Moneypenny. So I thought that was brilliant on that part. Q was so awesome how they met, right? Like, he was in the, when he was sitting in front of the painting, and he was just talking about it. And he goes, what do you see? He goes, a ship. And then he got up and he left. And then he was like, oh, 007. And then he sat down. And he didn't give him all these gadgets that we see in the movies, right? A watch. He didn't give him a belt. He just gave him a gun with his handprint and a little radio, right?
And he's like, what did you think? I was going to give you an exploding pen? Like, even taking a jab at the older, goofier ones.
Right. And the thing is I love that element of the movie. Then you got the other element of, like you said, you got a little bit of GoldenEye with the Javier Bardem, right? Like, his M's past is coming to haunt her in this movie, right? And then how does this influence Bond? Because now Bond is really connected with this M, with Judi Dench, right? And that's the mother figure that he never had. Because in Casino Royale, we can say whatever we want, he was protecting her. I mean, right? Like, and that was, she gave him the thing and he was protecting her. Quantum of Solace, the same thing. He was protecting him. And then in this one, My man died, like I said before. And what happened? He sees the TV while he's in Thailand or whatever, getting drunk night after night. He sees MI6 headquarters got blown up, which is Javier Bardem orchestrated. So he knows he's going to see the TV and he's going to come out of retirement to help M. So it was like a brilliant web of great writing. Like they knew, there was like, there is no, like, I cannot find a plot hole in this movie for me to go, oh, like I could find tons of plot holes in Quantum, right? You could find tons.
We all can.
Yeah, we could all find it. That's how horrible it is. Yeah. This one is so hard. And then when he kidnaps M, right? He goes, we got to switch cars. Bam, 1964 Aston Martin from Goldfinger. He opens up the garage. Let me just tell you, the night that I saw this in the theater with my wife opening night, the minute he jacked up the garage, the entire theater started clapping and screaming when they saw the car. The original theme music kicked in. The Sean Connery version. You're like, oh my God, like this is so awesome. Like they knew how to blend the old with the new.
Exactly.
And I think this is why the movie it was highly successful. Now look, in the United States is never going to go as high because of this is a British movie franchise, but 300 is still high.
Huge.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 overall, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. See, those are things I don't know. I know that that car is a Bond car.
Yeah,
I don't know where it comes from. I wouldn't have clapped in the theater because I don't get the reference, but I know this is an old school Bond car, you know, and that's what I was trying to say. This movie gives you the things that even I, as a casual fan, don't like know by heart. I know. And I think they did a great job. You said it best, blending the old with the new, the past with the modern. This had the best music of the first three movies.
Oh,
the score was great. And this is the first one that really tied in the Bond theme in a lot of scenes. How do you not? It wasn't even in the last movie, barely. I think maybe at the very beginning or very end. I don't even remember. They don't use it. This is the movie that's not ashamed of its past, where the other two at moments feel like we don't want to be. They're so worried about not being cheesy that they didn't embrace the good aspects of what a Bond movie is. With all that said, I gave it a 5. I love this movie. I loved it when I saw it at the theater. To that point, it had only been there was only the fourth Bond movie I'd ever seen because, you know, I saw GoldenEye years ago and then I saw Casino, Quantum, and this. So it was my favorite easily. It's probably still my favorite, to be honest, of the ones I've watched. Yeah, I mean, it is a great movie. It looks amazing. It sounds amazing. The performances are great. The nods are great. The action's great. The villain is amazing. And you know what else, too? And I'll wrap it up with this. The thing I love about the villain, I forgot in the villain part, too. His motive is literally, he just wants to get M. This is not, you know what I mean? If you really think about it, he does all this other stuff. Like, he blows up the building. But it's really just to get to her. I feel like if he got her and killed her, he would just go and ride off into the sunset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not a maniacal, take over the world villain. He wants to get revenge on this lady, and he will stop at nothing. It's brilliant. And also, you know, we talked about how these Craig movies tie together. This one really stands on its own. There's nothing in this that you had to have seen the first two movies for, because Bond is opening at the beginning. He's just Bond. Then he gets shot. Everything is contained. So while Casino Royale goes right into Quantum, and then I feel like this does go into the next ones, Quantum doesn't go into this. Like, this just is more like old school. In every way, it's more like an old school Bond movie. Standalone, amazing story, contained, perfection, 5 out of 5.
Look, you're absolutely right, my full-bearded friend. I'm telling you, I'm going to go with a 5. Look, I'm giving it a 5. I'm just telling you right now, I think it's hands down the best one to me in the Daniel Craig so far three movies. I think, and we didn't even talk about, I didn't even hit this. When he's in Skyfall and they're shooting at him and he's getting the two propane tanks, right? And Javier Bardem sees his Aston Martin, 1964 Aston Martin, and he tells them to blow it up. And when he blows it up, the pissed off face that he got when he saw his car go up in flames was like, oh, hell effing no. Like, you just blew up my car. Like, he was angry.
My baby.
Yeah, my baby blew up. And it was cool because the music was the Bond music, too, when they blew it up. It was like, wah, 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 wah. It was like, and I was like, oh, my God, he's pissed off Bond now. And I loved it. He was really pissed off Bond. And it was cool because that ties in into Spectre when he tells Q to fix his car. So that was pretty cool. Now, yes, that car is from Goldfinger. That's when the first time it debuted. was in I'll that movie.
Whenever
we're
going to
see
it
when we get to Sean Connery.
Yeah.
But and then it comes back. The one with one of the Pierce Brosnan movies, it comes back. That 1964 car. I forgot which one it was, but it comes back. It wasn't in Die Another Day. It wasn't in the it was one of the movies that he
Tomorrow Never Dies.
GoldenEye. When he's driving with the girl in the beginning with whatever with the, Ferrari
with the stupid music.
Yeah, the wah 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 wah.
Yeah, who can't forget that amazing?
Yeah, who can't forget that's where you see that car in the movie when they're driving Ferrari versus Aston Martin in those weird turns. But anyway,
yeah,
I gave it a 5. I think overall, this is the entire, like, this is a movie that if there's no one in the world that does not like a Bond movie, I think this is the one that you just recommend them. Watch Skyfall, and then you find out if you like Bond or not. With that said, total points, my friend.
24 and a half out of 25. 24 and a half out of 25.
I'm sorry to say, but this is my 25 out of 25. It's a perfect movie. I mean, in my eyes, I think this is a perfect Bond movie. I mean, we're going to go through the old ones. We'll find out if they are going to be 25, 25. But this one, I think, to me, had the perfect writing, perfect director. I think he fit very well with this franchise. He knew what he was doing. He knew his characters. Maybe you could say, out of all the movies that you ever seen in Hollywood, there's got to be a director that knew what he was getting himself into, right? Like, because when you see a movie, not many directors know what they're doing with their franchises, right? Like, certain Batman movies ain't good.
Yeah,
like, true. Like, you could tell that they don't know the material. This guy does know it. I think Martin Campbell, very great Bond movie. He knows how to shoot Bond movies. Sam Mendes, now you got to say. And I'll say this. I'll throw this in the hat. One, MGM, get Christopher Nolan to direct a Bond movie. I'm telling you right now.
He would knock it out of the park.
Big Papa Owl will say, lock him into a one movie deal. Let him start off the new franchise with a kick. And then we'll see where we go from there. Yeah, that would be pretty good. Start it off with Christopher Nolan. Look, I gave it 25 out of a 25. You gave it 24 and a half. Nate, you know what to do.
Yeah, so that is next. So now, coming up, we got wrapping up our disaster movie month with Alex's pick. So we did mine. We did a couple of patron picks. This is Alex's pick. Geostorm, the mother of all storms. Or is it? I don't know. You're going to find out next episode. So we're going to be covering that. And then, of course, next week, we will move on to Spectre, which is the only Daniel Craig movie that I do not remember barely anything from. And I saw it at the theater. I remember I liked the opening. It was like Day of the Dead or something. And I know Batista was in it. That literally, I don't remember much else. So
that
I'm
one,
actually looking forward to watching it.
That one, I will say, I will write a list of Easter eggs. So good. You guys would know.
Yeah, you bring that when we do it, because I sure won't know. But there's, I know Blofeld. I know he's like in old movies and he's in this one.
Yeah.
Okay, so I remember a couple of things, but not much. Not much. So I'm looking forward to rewatching it. It'll be my first time since the theater.
Yeah, so there you have it, guys. If you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Action Movie Guys podcast on Instagram or Levels of Geeks on Instagram. Also, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, please hit that like button if you enjoyed the video. Please hit those notification bells so every time videos or reviews drop. And we go live November 1st at 9 p.m. Eastern. You guys will be notified. And of course, subscribe to the channel. Support the channel. We enjoy doing this for you guys. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.